Sportsline rolls along here on WBIL, and we're joined now by a Ravens reporter for the Baltimore Sun, Aaron Wilson. Aaron, thank you so much for coming on the program.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for having me.
Well, you wrote a very interesting interview piece that you did with Joe Flacco over the weekend in Chantilly, Virginia. Let's start with this. How did Joe look, and how did he say he felt physically after getting hit pretty hard all season long?
I thought he looked great. He was in good shape. He looked like he was lean, looked like he'd been doing a lot of cardio. And he said his knee felt good. He didn't have to have surgery. It was just a sprained medial collateral ligament in his left knee. He said it wasn't ideal, obviously, to be playing at the end of the year, but he gutted it out. I didn't think he had anywhere close to good enough mobility, but, you know, they were in a mode where they're trying to earn a playoff berth, and, you know, he gives them the best chance to win. So they put him out there, and I don't think he was any big risk. He just couldn't move that well. He wasn't his normal self. But, yeah, he's back to 100%, and they seem to be in good spirits. He's very excited about the Ravens offseason and all they've done. You know, they've spent about $113.5 million in new contracts for offensive players and done a lot of moves, spent almost $50 million guaranteed in those deals to try to upgrade the offense. So, yeah, he's pretty excited about that.
What do you say specifically about Steve Smith?
He's very excited about Steve. He feels like he's really explosive, and feels like with Steve and also adding Owen Daniels that they have some new weapons and that they're going to be a more explosive offense and can put up more points.
And Gary Kubiak?
He likes what he sees from the playbook. He's had a good conversation with Gary. He's talked to him on the phone. He's also met now with him and Rick Dennison. You're not allowed to do a lot in the offseason in terms of talking about offense and anything formal under the collective bargaining agreement. But, yeah, he's excited about the direction of the offense, really likes what he's heard about Gary and has watched the Texans' offense before and played against them many times. So he likes what he's hearing, and he thinks that it's going to be a really good fit for him and for the personnel that they have.
Now, Aaron, there's very little, and you mentioned this just now, but there's almost nothing a player can do with a team right now for another few weeks until the first official chance to have an off-season workout, correct? They're still 2 weeks away from not being able to do really anything.
Right. They can, if a player wants to, he can go in there and work out. And if they want to, they can organize informal things on their own. Just the coaching staff cannot supervise that. There's rules under the collective bargaining agreement. They get a lot of time off, obviously. That was one of the wins for the union in the following the lockout. And, yeah, they just don't have a ton of things that the coaching staff can do with the players right now. But, you know, they can get a copy of the playbook. If Joe, you know, was of the mind, he could have the guys, you know, have some kind of a, you know, chalk talk or, you know, throwing session, things like that. That's something that him and the other offensive players would like to do. It's just been difficult for them to get down with everybody's school schedule. Some guys are enrolled in college, like Kyle Juszczyk and Marlon Brown, and then other guys have family obligations, like Steve Smith. And when I talked to Joe about it, he was of the mind that, you know, they're going to see each other in a couple weeks, and they all don't really know the playbook very well, so they're looking for some guidance on it and rather than just go out and throw around the football, but actually run the real plays that they're going to be running. So they're going to have a lot of time together the whole off season, starting in a couple of weeks, and then they'll have the organized team activities, the mini camps, and he'll be at all of those. He's scheduled to attend every single one.
Yeah, if you were going to do something extra like that on your own time, it would make much more sense to me with the new offensive coordinator to do it after the first official off-season team activity.
Right. You can have extra time. These guys, there's nothing stopping them from, you know, putting in extra time or just having something where, you know, the offensive players organize some extra sessions and they can get on the field. They have something called a quarterback school, and there's some things where in a couple of weeks where the coaches can be on the field, and it's very limited what you're allowed to do, but you're, you know, you can walk through some of the stuff and run some routes and throw some passes and line up in some of the formations. But you know, the thing is that the off-season program, it's all voluntary, so you're gonna have some guys in, some guys out. You never really usually have 100% attendance at all times, but yeah, I'm sure Joe will have plenty of time with Steve Smith and Dennis Pitta and Owen Daniels, and they'll play a lot of catch between now and training camp, which starts in July. So, and we're here in April, and I think that this, you know, the season's still a long time away. But the thing about it is, I think everybody, you know, he's drawn some criticism for them not already having done something. I'm just not hearing about a lot of other guys doing something. And then in some cases, when they did have something like, you know, Jets West with Mark Sanchez, you know, they didn't make them more effective. You know, they weren't particularly successful just because they did that. So, you know, Peyton Manning's had some things. There's some guys that really have a lot of stuff. He hasn't done anything this year that we've heard about, though.
We're with Aaron Wilson from the Baltimore Sun. Aaron, what else jumped out to you in your conversation with Joe Flacco?
That he's pretty upbeat. He feels like they have a chance to improve. And he talked about the offensive line, too, and he wasn't critical of them, but he just felt like, you know, that's where it all starts. And like some of the moves they made on the line, he heard really good things about Jeremy Zitta, the new center that they traded for from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And he was happy they brought back Eugene Monroe. I think he's a really good left tackle. So there was a – I think he's pretty positive about all that they've done. And he's also really motivated. You know, he expressed disappointment about not being in the playoffs last season and eagerness to get back there. So, yeah, I mean, he said all the right things. I think, you know, with Joe, you know, it's kind of – it's a time when he's had a lot of time with his family. He's had his vacations and things like that, and he's ready to get back to work and, you know, just crank things up.
And for the Ravens right now in their offseason schedule and what they're looking to do from this point forward – they go out and they get Owen Daniels, a backup running back, last week as well, and they re-sign Terrence Cody. Do you think they're going to be quiet here now until the draft, or are they going to remain active?
I think there could be a few small moves that they could consider. You know, they could probably still, you know, use a backup quarterback, you know, whether they get one in the draft. You know, they've met with Jimmy Garoppolo. They look at other quarterbacks, or they wait until after the draft to see if a veteran shakes loose. You know, what if T.J. Yates from the Texans, what if he gets released? Because they said they want to add quarterbacks, and he knows the Gary Kubiak offense very well. So does Case Keenum. I think, you know, things like that are worth keeping an eye on. You know, Dan Orlovsky, there was a mild amount of interest. He went signing with the Lions. It's not a great backup quarterback market out there. I think David Carr, he's deciding if he still wants to play, and Brady Quinn's out there. It's not a great group. Josh Freeman just worked out for the Bears yesterday. You know, that would be an interesting guy to bring in, but, you know, there's really nothing, I think, that's a pressing need right now, and they'll probably head into the draft with this roster looking the way it does.
And then they still have some cap room to spend. Of course, some will go to rookies coming in, but if they wanted to do something later, closer to training camp or at the end of training camp, like they often do, pick up a piece that's released, spare part, whatever have you, they'll still have the luxury and the cap room to do that, right, Aaron?
That's right. They have that financial flexibility, Brad. They've got about $6.136 million available, and they are in a situation where they could spend that on extensions for players. Mm. Like a Torrey Smith, that's something that there's a mutual desire to work on. There's nothing really cooking on that right now, but yeah, they have that money. They're over $6 million available still after these latest round of moves. And, you know, they also, I should say, 6.316, transposing those numbers, but they have plenty of cap room, and they have enough for their rookie pool for an emergency fund. Should guys go on injured reserve, you still have to pay them. They all count against the cap, and then you sign a new player, and that counts against the cap. So I think they're in a good position where they have enough money to just keep, you know, spending and making some small signings, like a backup QB. Another rotational defensive lineman wouldn't be a bad idea, maybe someone that's a pass rusher. Yeah, I think that, you know, they could use one of those, maybe an inside linebacker. And I think they're in a good position financially, having accomplished all that they already have with Pat Moriarty negotiating a lot of contracts already.
And then finally, they go and get a backup running back who may or may not make the team next year in Forsett last week. Do you expect them to add depth at running back through the draft at this point and maybe even in the first few rounds of the draft, or maybe look in free agency to add another running back? Because I think Forsett, Pierce, and Rice, and in Rice's current situation, that can't be enough.
Right, the draft, certainly. Yeah, they have a desire to add a tackle-breaking, punishing, big running back if they can get one. And they like, obviously, ideally, for someone that has some speed to go with that size and strength. And, yeah, they've looked at a lot of backs. You know, there's Andre Williams. There's Terrence West from Towson. Had a good pro day yesterday with 22 teams, including the Ravens, watching. And there's other runners, you know, guys like Carlos Hyde. I expect them to be, you know, adding a running back in the draft. And, you know, the thing about the Ray Rice situation, you're looking at a potential suspension. You got Bernard Pierce coming off rotator cuff surgery. And, you know, with the back that they added, you know, he's something of a journeyman. He's a good player. He's a nice piece to have. But, you know, he's, you know, not probably the potential starter. And then, you know, you really want to add, look for the future. You know, that's just something they have to keep their options open, you know, for you know, a year or two down the road. So, yeah, I expect them to add a good running back in the draft, and there are enough of them.
Man, Terrence West, what a story that would be. Aaron Wilson from the Baltimore Sun. Aaron, thank you so much for your insight, as always.
Great talking to you.